I was raised in a world where wanting to be seen, touched, desired, was suspicious. If you were a woman and you wanted that, you were too much. If you were a man and you wanted that, you were dangerous. If you were queer and you wanted that, yeah, you were disordered. I'm Paul Cram, actor, storyteller, and today we're talking about what it means to want without shame. So let me tell you something that would have terrified an earlier version of me. I smelled incredible the other night. Not nice, not pleasant, incredible. I layered Lovely by Sarah Jessica Parker, Egyptian Musk by Nemat, and Hypnotic Poison by Christian Dior. Scent combo trio that really does make you slow your own walk just to trail yourself. The kind that says, oh, he meant to do that. And yeah, I did. I put those on intentionally. I wanted to feel sexy. I wanted to be noticed. I wanted to flirt. And yeah, maybe I wanted to go home with someone to enjoy my body and theirs. And much bigger picture, here's what really would have terrified me. Maybe I meet someone that I can make a life with. To pause here, because for me, that thought, that idea, that used to fill me with dread. Maybe make a life with someone. And I know if you're listening, like, those desires of talking about owning your body, of having sex if you want, of building a life on your terms, it makes your nervous system twitch. And that's exactly why we're talking. I was raised in a world where wanting was suspicious. You know the script. Too much, dangerous, disordered. So this isn't really about cologne and perfume, as you can tell. It's about the crime of wanting. The crime of desire, the crime of autonomy. Because the part, the wanting that used to feel illegal in my nervous system, it wasn't just the behavior. It wasn't just even about having sex. It was the thought, I like you. The thought, I could build a life with someone like this. The thought, I deserve romance, partnership, a future. That felt dangerous. Because I was raised inside a belief system that quietly, and sometimes loudly, told me my happiness didn't matter. That it came second. Second to theology, second to reputation, second to my family's comfort. And if you're queer, that message lands hard. And here's the part that nobody explains. Sometimes the scariest part isn't sex. It's peace. It's stability. It's building something that lasts. I had sex, yup, but I denied myself from walking the trail sex can lead to. The vulnerability, the attachment, the possibility of choosing someone and being chosen. There's something I don't talk about much. I remember on a 4th of July in Los Angeles around 2015, I was on the roof of an apartment building, wrapped in the arms of a man named Thomas. He had the kindest, clearest ice blue eyes I had ever seen, and the soul to match. Fireworks were going off across the city. Hollywood, Santa Monica. Little pockets of light across the horizon. And he had his arms around me. And I remember thinking very clearly, I could really love this man. Not, this is hot. Not, this is fun. Rather, I could love him. And a few days later, I got on a plane and left. Not because he did anything wrong. Not because I didn't feel something. But because somewhere in me was the belief that I didn't get that life. I denied myself love. And that choice cost me more than I understood at the time. There are things you can only learn about yourself inside a romantic relationship. Not from a book, not from a podcast, not from flirting at a bar. You learn how to handle conflict. You learn how to receive love. You learn where you shut down. You learn how to repair. And I denied myself that classroom for a long time. Not because I didn't want it, but because I believed I didn't get it in this life. Because somewhere in me was the lie that my life didn't matter as much. That if I loved openly, I would lose family. And some of them did leave. Not because I harmed anyone, not because I betrayed anyone, but because I live and I love adult men. That's not scandal. That's reality. There's a part of me that is angry. Not performatively angry, not dramatic, but clear. Because I was told things about myself that weren't true. I was told my love was disordered, that my happiness came second. So when I say this episode is about wanting, I don't just mean heat at a bar. I mean autonomy over my body. Autonomy over my future, autonomy over who I build a life with. Because shame doesn't just police your sex life, it polices your imagination. It tells you which futures you're allowed to picture, it tells you which futures are available, which homes you're allowed to picture, which love stories get to belong to you. Shame is like a perfume you didn't choose but kept wearing anyway. And I believed for a long time that the future where I had a partner, a home, a shared life, wasn't mine to claim. I didn't untangle that overnight. I had to rewrite the script that I was handed. And that meant studying, it meant research. I read books. This Book Is Gay by Juno Dawson is one, and another by historian John Boswell, like award-winning writing in his book, Christianity, Social Tolerance, and Homosexuality. This whole process, it meant me rehearsing. It meant me diving into community. I sat in support groups. I went to therapy. I did the work because reclaiming a life takes intention. And that's why this isn't just about a rooftop or a scent. It's bigger than flirting. It's bigger than having sex. It's your life. And it matters. And no belief system gets to shrink it. And here's what I'm learning now. Suppressing yourself to make other people comfortable, that's erasure. I don't want to erase myself anymore. Not in the bedroom, not in relationship, not in public, not in private. I'm learning that I don't need anyone to agree with me anymore. I just need to live. And it feels wonderfully aligned these days to be living. When I walk into a room smelling incredible and open to connection, I'm not just pursuing pleasure. I am reclaiming trajectory. I'm saying my life gets to move forward. I get to choose love. I get to choose lust. I get to choose partnership. And if some people can't handle that, that's their theology to untangle, not my existence to shrink. So if you're just starting to untangle this, find the books, find the groups, find the therapist who understands religious trauma. You don't have to untangle it alone. I hope you don't wait as long as I did. You don't have to shrink for anyone's comfort. You don't have to delay your life to earn permission. You get to live it. And because of that, you can want, you can choose, you can be powerful, you can be kind, and maybe most importantly, you can believe your life story matters enough to build one with the chapters you have left. I want you to know you're not too much. You're not dangerous. And you don't have to postpone your life. That's not scandal. That's adulthood. And honestly, it smells fantastic. If this stirred something in you, good. That means you're alive. Come hang out with me at IamPaulCram.com. I'm there and on the usual platforms, thinking out loud, telling stories, and always smelling amazing. Let's keep having the conversations most of us weren't allowed to have growing up. Smooches.